Leading LDS is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing leadership ability and capacity of lay leaders in order to accelerate the mission of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Leading LDS is not owned nor operated by the LDS Church, and any opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of any specific organization. All donations given to Leading LDS are tax deductible and go towards the support of Leading LDS. For more information, visit leadinglds.org. I am right now in beautiful Blackfoot, Idaho. I had the opportunity to record this episode in a beautiful part of the country. My name is Kurt Frankham. This is the Leading LDS Podcast. I welcome you back. One thing you may not know about me is I have the best business idea. It's a cereal restaurant. And someday when I'm filthy rich, I'm starting it up. It's going to be called Serious Cereal. Now, don't go and steal that idea. Okay, this is evidence that I thought of it first. In this episode, I talked with somebody else who had a fantastic idea, and now it is an app that you can download. It's called the Closing Speaker app, and you can get it on all Android devices and hopefully coming soon to iOS devices. But the developer is Jacob Barlow, and my dad actually told me about this app initially and said I should check it out because it's a great leadership tool, and that it is. It's essentially an app that contains a database of quotes from leaders or individuals in the church that have spoken around certain topics. And so you can search by speaker or by topic. And so there you are in a sacrament meeting, and you know, maybe the speaker's left too much time at the end, and it's your duty as the presiding authority to stand up and take the rest of the time. Well, you can go to the Closing Speaker app and look at some quotes around a topic real fast, and there you are, ready to speak with confidence and with some fantastic quotes. So we talked with Jacob Barlow about the process of why he developed this app, what he hopes to accomplish, and the future features that he hopes to add to it, and it's definitely an app that you should download. And before we jump into that interview, I want to remind all of you to be sure to go to leadinglds.org and become a core leader in the Leading LDS community. Now, what is a core leader? Well, that is an individual in the Leading LDS community that is contributing on a monthly basis, whether it's $1 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, or $1 million a month. We make additional content and resources available to the core leaders, and so I encourage you to go to leadinglds.org and become a core leader by simply donating $1 a month or more. And now, here's my interview with Jacob Barlow, the developer of the Closing Speaker app. Today, we're headed to the Bay Area with Jacob Barlow. How are you, Jacob?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Nice. How's the weather there in June in the Bay Area?
I think we're getting into the 90s today. It's been a glorious past few weeks, but we also had like months of rain. So it's nice and green and nice and warm.
And are you originally from that area, or is that where you grew up?
Actually, I grew up in Southern California, so I've been up and down the coast.
And what led you? Was it work that led you there?
Well, so I went to school at BYU Idaho. I graduated in marketing, business marketing, and took jobs here and there to try and get closer to my wife in Southern California. And then it's a kind of a long story. I have kind of more than you asked for, maybe. We were working in Southern California, but I was traveling a lot until a position opened that was more central based, and the company was based in Utah. So we moved there and worked for a little bit. And then eventually got an email from Google saying, "Hey, we want you to, we know you applied for this Google Fiber position, but, we thought you might be a better fit for this thing that we can't tell you about." And so I said, okay. And so I interviewed with them for 3, 4, 5 times, and they eventually offered me the position that I still didn't know about. I didn't know what it was. And so we said, okay, I guess. It was a contract. And so we came out. We figured we'd be here for a year. And so we worked on the Google Glass team for ended up being about a year and a half. So that's what brought us out.
That was the secret project, was Google Glass?
That's right, yeah.
So is that dead now? I know they sort of had... They had a good run.
it's dead-ish. Yeah. It really the only beneficial, not beneficial. I mean, I liked it personally, but the only large-scale benefit was enterprise applications. So if I'm working on, let's say, like a plane, and I'm trying to, you know, put together the wiring systems there, I lose my place if I have to look away at a chart or something like that. So it's awesome to be able to look through a display and see exactly what needs to go where. So that's where it's really thriving is a enterprise space.
But for day-to-day consumer use, they just didn't catch on.
Right. Well. There were some privacy concerns that kind of, misunderstandings that kind of quashed it.
Privacy. So, huh.
Yeah. Nice.
And so the reason I wanted to invite you onto the podcast is you developed an app called The Closing Speaker. Is app development something you've done for years and years, or what was the impetus of developing this app?
Yeah. So near the end of that contract, I realized that, you know, I'm surrounded by all these super smart people. I might as well, you know, kind of learn stuff from them. And that was kind of encouraged. If you had kind of a slow day, you were encouraged to learn other things. And so I knew from them that I needed a project to learn around. Can't just like go on the internet and just start learning things. It's helpful to learn towards something. And so my dad had been compiling for years, you know, as he was speaking in church as the state president or the bishop or whatever his calling was, he would, you know, do a lot of research into quotes that he would need for his talks or scriptures that he would need. And then it would make his preparation a lot easier in the future. And so eventually he had this book, reference book, whatever, called Quotable Quotes. And he thought about publishing it at some point, but either never got around to it or it just never happened. And so I remembered that and I thought, well, Dad, can I take this and make it into like a digital format? Because in my opinion, if you publish something, like, it's immediately outdated. You either need to come up with a newer edition or you know, a sequel, I don't know. And so he said, sure, and delivered all of the, you know, all of this content to me, and that's what I used to kind of learn on my own.
So maybe just give us an overview of what it is. I mean, it's an app of quotes, you would say?
Yeah. So I kind of describe it as like a, you know, the topical guide in the scriptures. So if I want to research baptism, I can look up baptism in there and find all the scriptures, one, that reference baptism, that say it in there, but also scriptures that talk about baptism, not necessarily have the word baptism in there. And the church website is fine for that. But all the church website does is if you type in a search query, it's every single reference where that word is mentioned.
Yes, the search function on LDS.org leaves you wanting much. So
in this respect, at least.
Right, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So that's where this is really helpful, is that if I'm looking for a quote from a church leader that is talking about baptism, that's where I can find it. Yeah.
You know, and I remember kind of compiling my own sort of topical guide, which I've written about on Mormon Life Hacker, about using Evernote. You know, I would, through my scripture study or, you know, reading conference talks, I'd find a quote that I'm just, oh, I love that, you know? And so I would record it into Evernote and then tag it with subjects around, you know, what it would be related to. And it has served me well over the years to, you know, as I'm preparing a talk or I remember many times as a bishop, you know, the speaker ends early, there's like 15 minutes left, and I could confidently, you know, go to a subject and have three or four stories, anecdotes, quotes, and stand right, and deliver right. An address that wasn't wasting people's time, you know. And I think you're doing that on a larger scale and a more general scale with some of these quotes.
Yeah, and a lot of different wards have programs where the youth are asked to always have a talk prepared. My ward growing up, they called it a talk in the pock. And so at any time, if that sort of situation came up, the bishop might call on one of the youth and say, okay, come up and speak. And they would have something there. And this kind of helps with that kind of preparation, so that it makes it not necessarily because the youth should have prepared ahead of time. But if you were asked at a moment's notice to share something, this would help you kind of do something like that.
Yeah, great idea. And so I'm curious, where did the name The Closing Speaker come from?
Yeah, I was going through a few different ideas. I thought about using my dad's, you know, quotable quotes, but I thought it's a little generic. It doesn't really convey for the audience what it might be. But then I thought about, you know, who might be using this, and people that give talks a lot would be using this, and usually those people are the concluding speaker. I actually thought about, you know, the bishop gets up and says, okay, our closing speaker will be so-and-so. And so that's how I thought of that.
Yeah, I love it. And I guess you could have gone with quotable quotes, but this I think is catchy as well. So, and it makes sense because that's maybe who's using that. And it's available. I know I have Android, so I've downloaded on my phone, but is it on iOS yet?
It's not on iOS. I that's actually the number one request that I get in my email. And I have personal beef with Apple, but that's just me.
You're a Google guy.
I am. But it's not lost on me that it would be beneficial for a lot of people on Apple. A lot of people, when they talk about that, they reference how much money I could make on Apple, but it's not really the draw for me. Mm-hmm. The reason I went with Android first actually was because of the amount of global installs. Like I don't want it to be just a US thing. And the market share for Android is like 80%. So it's like, for me, that was a no-brainer.
So are there plans then to move towards iOS? I know a few in my audience that I've shared it with have definitely, you know, asked that.
Yeah, I have big plans for it.
Because I'm sure it's making you millions of dollars at this point.
I have one ad in there, and I'm not even sure how much it. They only pay out after $100, and I haven't had a payout. So if that helps, it's one thing that I will add for the iOS fans out there. So the problem that I have in that area is that the developer license costs like $100 per year. So that's a hurdle for me. Not that it's that pricey to do, but I think that the one way that I might enable something like that is to charge like $1 or $2 for it, and then have a caveat in there to say, you know, this price goes to cover the cost of the developer license, and anything above that will be donated to the church blank program, whatever, probably the Book of Mormon fund, I don't know, something like that, or the missionary fund. So if that is something that your readers would be into, that's something that I could look at, or maybe ad supported and then, you know, pay to remove ads. That's something I'll probably enable in Android as well. But those are the things that I'm thinking about. It's not that I've forgotten about iOS or ignoring them, but I'm just trying to make that balance there work for everyone. The work that I've been doing the past few weeks are moving the database to, you know, outside of the app to an online service so that it'll enable a few different features. It'll make it easier to move to iOS, to move to the web. It'll make it so that you can add your own quotes. I'll have a verification process in place. I'll have some admins in place to approve. I'll have, let's see, what else am I going to do there? Oh, so like a login so you can use it across multiple devices. So there's a lot of big plans in place for it, not necessarily because the user base is enormous, but just because I want to make it as accessible as possible. And to make it big, like there's a Gospel Link. I'm not sure if you've heard of Gospel Link, but yeah. To make it a resource,
that's like
kind
old
of
school,
like
right?
That.
That's
yeah, it's pretty old school.
But they're still around. I didn't realize they're still around.
Yeah, they still exist. Maybe they changed their name. I'm not sure, okay. But I like the idea of having users contribute because that makes it sustainable. If it's just me adding stuff in or my dad adding stuff in, it's that slow going.
Yeah. And that was my next question. You know, like I said, I've got a my own database full of quotes and, you know, different stories and such that may add to that. So if somebody wants to contribute, that's just going to be a part of the future updates then, or is there some way that people can do that now to contribute to your database?
Yeah, not currently. You can't do it now, but I actually already, when I first built it, I already have the features in the database to allow for that. So I just need to put the safeguards in place because, you know, there are trolls on the internet and I know because
oh, really?
I am one sometimes. So I just want to make sure that people aren't submitting the stuff that's, you know, anti-Mormon or derogatory or anything. So I'm making sure to put safeguards in place so that if that happens, I can, you know, as the admin not approve stuff like that and then consistent offenders can be, you know, blocked completely, stuff like that.
Yeah. And is it just quotes that you focus on or are there longer stories or things like that are in the database as well?
Some of the quotes are quite long, so it's not necessarily short quotes. So it's really whatever you might, if you had pages of content that you wanted to submit from Brigham Young, the app's not going to stop you from that.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at some of the comments that people have left. Looks like you have a 4.8 rating. Speaking of trolls, you have one guy that left a 1-star. What? Oh, man. some great ways that people share as far as they use it. You know, this person, Clark, I think he may be related, says, I'm in charge of choosing a quote to put on the front of the program each Sunday, and this app has made the job a whole lot easier. I love it. Somebody else says, Melanie says, just what I needed. Sometimes I have an idea of a quote I need or want, but never find it searching through websites. This app gives me the option to not only search by author, but by topic, making my hunt for the perfect quote flawless. I also love the option to favorite a quote so I can go back to quotes and really helped at ease. And that's another function on there, is that you can sort of build your own database in the app with a star quote, and it's listed in your favorites, right?
Right. Yeah. So, that's another feature that this database move is going to enable, is not just favoriting your own, which it still will, but also the ones that you favorite will be contributed to a pool. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Reddit or like upvoting type of things.
Yeah.
So that's going to be you'll be able to sort by things that are most favorited. So if I'm if I'm looking for a quote for faith, I want to see the best ones, filter for that. And it'll, you know, be top down. And I think that'll be, I don't know if you're allowed to rank the prophet's words, but I'm going to do it and see what happens. So
it does happen. There's definitely love for Elder Holland that maybe is a little unfair to the others, but nice. Is there have you seen any like unique trends? I know maybe you're not like a data guy, but obviously you're creating a database. Are there any, like, is there one prophet or individual that has more quotes than others, or that's liked more than others, anything like that?
So I don't have quotes from, I don't have data for individual prophets or leaders or topics. Not that it isn't available, it's there. I actually have a page on the app that has stats for nerds. So I actually might drop that in there. I might drop the, you know, most quoted or most favorited, most frequent topic, that type of stuff in there.
Yeah. Or I'm sure,
right now the stats are, total quotes is, 3,088. Total number of authors is 241. And then total topics is 287. So nice. Those are good ideas. I'll drop those in there.
Yeah. And I would imagine, you know, so with authors, do you have somewhat of a guideline of who passes as somebody who can be quoted? I mean, do they have to be a general authority? Can it be some, you know, my grandpa said this great thing once, and you should list it here.
No, I don't have a specific criteria in place. I probably should.
Yeah. I'm sure you're getting there, right? And it's not like you're one guy that's developed a cool app and, you know, you haven't figured out all the nuances.
Yeah. And you know, that the great thing about this type of thing is I have it in place now, and I will require it going forward, is a source.
Yeah.
So regardless of who it is, the source is there. So you can take it for what it says there. And if there is no source, I will not allow it to be on there, because I don't agree with just random quotes from somebody.
Yeah.
And it probably has to be published.
And I would imagine in the future, when, you know, it's more of a open source, you know, as far as contributing quotes, that you may get individuals that say, oh, I, you know, Elder Oaks came to my state conference and he said this, and it was such a good quote. And it's sort of, you know, you have to be able to, the source also has to be verifiable, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If I can't verify it, it's not going in.
Yeah. Well, that's a great tool, you know, as leaders download this, I think they'll find great, and even people outside of leadership, you know, preparing a talk or a family home evening, or, you know, just a topic coming to mind that you want to delve more into, you can come here, and there's some great quotes. As I've jumped around on it, there's quotes that I've never heard before and that are inspiring and helpful. So do you have plans for any other ideas for apps?
Yeah. Mostly things to kind of pad my resume. This is one thing for that, to kind of showcase skills that I have in the app development space. That's part of the reason why I wanted to do it. Another thing that I would like to create is a workout app. So a lot of the ones that have been created recently have been bought up by like So apps like MapMyRun or similar things, they've gotten bought up and their plans have kind of shifted towards the monetization anyway, has shifted towards a subscription model. And it's fine, but I don't feel like I should have to subscribe to go for a run, especially since there's not really any real significant technical benefit to that functionality. So I think it's dumb. So,
so you're going to make a change.
Yeah, I would love to do it a different way. So watch this 1 minute ad to enable the next 5 runs or something like that. I don't know, something better. And it doesn't seem too technically hard to do that. And maybe I do it to get bought up. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jacob, this is really cool. And I hope our listeners go out and check out the Closing Speaker app and use it. And, it's going to come in handy. And, just from a spiritual angle, as you've developed this app, any special promptings or experiences that have strengthened your testimony as you've contributed to, the Mormon society by creating this app?
Well, so that's kind of an interesting experience, not just from creating this specific app, but in general. So I started learning it on my own, but quickly found out that I was in deep water and I really didn't know. I knew I was doing things wrong. And I remember watching Google I.O. as their annual developer conference, and they announced this program through Udacity that was a year-long course, and you pay, $2,000. And if you finish it under the year, then you get half of your money back. And as I was watching it, I had the prompting that I had at that moment was, this is what you need to do. And so I did it. And every day you need to do it every day to kind of learn this stuff, is every day I would pray beforehand to ask help me figure this out. I don't know what Java means, I don't know. And then I would work. And then afterwards I, finish off and with a prayer and learn and keep doing that day after day after day. And while I was working, I had to read every single quote. I had to copy and paste this into the database, And so I read every single quote, every single author, every single reference to verify that it is what it is. And it was an awesome experience. It was awesome to not just do my personal study, but to do this to expand my spirit and my mind at the same time. It was awesome. And there's not many experiences where you can get to do that at the same time. Most of it is either spiritual or temporal. So it was cool to do both.
You're a good man, Jacob. Thanks for putting yourself out there and putting together a fantastic app that will bless the lives of many members and especially leaders across the world. And I hope you, those listening, will go to your Android device and download the Closing Speaker app. And if you do have an iOS device, maybe send Jacob a nice note and say, hey, love to be a user of the Closing Speaker app. As always, all we ask is $1 a month for the content that we develop at Leading LDS. So go to leadinglds.org and become a core leader by contributing on a monthly basis, and your life will never be better. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.